listening to Outside the Cage with your hosts, Gabriel Owens and Alan Young.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Outside the Cage. I'm your host, Gabriel Owens. With me is my co-host, Alan Young. What's going on, Alan?
Hey, not much.
We're going to talk about last night's, as of this recording, Strike Force show. A little bit of Ultimate Fighter from earlier this week. And did you happen to catch Bellator at all?
I did not.
Okay. Eddie Alvarez won. He had a hard time putting away a guy he should have beat pretty easy. It's pretty much the story.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I was live last night at Strike Force here in San Diego. Probably one of the best rounds of a fight you'll ever see in the main event. Let's start off just main event, and then we'll go back down the card. What did you think of it?
It was a big, sloppy, bloody back and forth. Well, not all that bloody, but big, sloppy back and forth between Nick Diaz and Paul Daly. Daly looked like he had Diaz hurt and in trouble, and then Diaz looked like he had Daly hurt and in trouble, and it went back and forth for almost the whole round until finally Diaz finished off Daly.
Yeah, it wasn't even, so it was so back and forth, and the shots that landed that were rocking both guys was really, they didn't look that hard. It was, I think Nick won on, you know, his famous punches and bunches. You know, it's just cumulative damage finally got to Daly, because the shot that knocked him out was actually delayed. You know, he hit him in a clinch, he let go of the clinch, and then Daly just kind of fell down, dazed, right. And then he got ground and pounded. The ref could have let it go. It was like 3 seconds left in the round. But as you know, it was Big John. You know, I always defer to his judgment, because obviously, you know, after he called the fight, Daly had to be helped to a stool. So it was obviously a great call again. Live, it was amazing. San Diego, it was, I think it's about 7,000 or 8,000 people, they said, was in the crowd. They were all, you know, extremely hardcore fans. Like, the whole, they went crazy for everything. You know?
Right.
I don't know. I watched it on TV. It didn't quite. It didn't match hearing it live. I've said this before about, you know, both UFC and Strikeforce. They don't mic their crowds well enough. You do not have the idea of how loud these crowds are.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't hear shit when they did the interviews in the ring. I couldn't hear them.
Really?
It was that loud. You know, there were a lot of Stockton came down. You know, we're about five hours away, I think. And they were, I was in the Stockton Lodi area of the arena, apparently. I couldn't hear shit for Gilbert or
Diaz.
Or Diaz's fight, yeah.
Ariel Helwani tweeted that it looked like the upper bowl was about 90% empty. Did that?
I didn't hear. I think they had it, must have had it darkened out, because I didn't. You know, I was in the second bowl from the top.
Right.
Not a bad seat in the house, by the way. The stadium that they chose for this was pretty much anywhere you sat, it was a good view. Like, I didn't have floor seats, but you know, just the second bowl, perfectly good shot. One of the best views since the first Elite XC we saw in Mississippi, I'd say, for myself.
Yeah.
But yeah, the crowd was great. You know, I made a lot of friends. You know, just hanging out. Everyone was there. It was like just a hardcore fan, wanted to talk.
Right.
It's kind of like BotCon, where, you know, you don't get to talk that often in person. So everybody about, you know, your geeky hobby. So now you get everybody together. Like, just everyone's just blah, 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 blah. We're talking fights. So the ambiance, everything was great. Beer was overpriced. It was $9 for a Miller Lite.
Wow.
Yeah. Ridiculous. I heard like the pre. I didn't even have a Sam Adams kiosk next to me, so I heard those were like going for $12 for a 12. I was like, nah. Much as I'm not a big fan of Miller Lite, I will stick to this.
Beer's overpriced in stadiums anyway, but that's worse than I've ever seen.
Well, at least the Miller Lights, at least they were like, I think 16 ounces. They weren't 12 ounces at least for nine, but it's still expensive as hell for domestic swill.
Right.
All right, let's run down the other the rest of the card. Battle of the Fancy Pants, Shinya Aoki versus Lyle Bitterbaum.
Right. This turned out to be, you know, basically a gimme for Aoki, which isn't surprising. Aoki versus some guy you've never heard of.
I know Bitterbaum mostly because of his shorts. I think I'm 90% sure this fight was made because both guys are known for having wacky fight shorts. Which weren't, neither one were that quite that wacky. One, you know, I think we've talked about before, Shinya's his shorts would be illegal in the States because he wears like shin length fight shorts in Japan, which you can't wear anything past the knee in the States because it's considered a grappling tool.
Right.
But they're both still wacky. Yeah, quick fight. Interesting, another interesting jiu-jitsu. We're seeing a lot of interesting new jiu-jitsu finishes lately. We got the combination neck crank choke slash body lock. Impressive.
Yeah, it worked. It was the neck crank doesn't... It's not always considered a finisher, but it worked. Worked in this case.
Yeah, there was a lot of time left in the round, and he wasn't getting out of the hold, and I guess he gave up rather than, you know, I'm not going to sit in here for a couple of minutes getting my neck completely cranked in the wrong direction.
Right.
It happens. Shinya was way out of Beer Bomb's league here.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a fun fight. Aoki's reaction at the end, I think, was better than the fight itself. He was just, you never saw a man so happy he won a fight. You know, very emotional, of course, everything going on in Japan right now. You know, he has not even seen his, you know, I didn't know until I just watched the Showtime show. You know, he has not seen his child. He was just born over in Japan. He's been training in the States. So, a very emotional win for him. Great reaction live. I said this was a hardcore bunch. They knew who Shinya Aoki was. He got, you know, huge ovation, which kind of surprised me until I realized, like, this is a, you know, a hardcore crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else to add on that one?
Not really. It was a short fight. Just basically domination by AOE for a minute and a half.
Yep. Next fight, the return of the Dean of Mean. And an ugly but entertaining fight, at least, but it was an ugly fight.
And with a horrible decision at the end.
You thought so? I agreed with the decision. I thought it was 10-8. I thought Jardine won the first round 10-9 with the point deduction. It was 10-8. And Musasi definitely took rounds 2 and 3, which in my mind leads to a draw. I was talking to this two people at the show, you know, went by pride rules. You know, judge the fight overall, Musasi definitely won. But under the rules of mixed martial arts, unified rules...
What happened?
Lost. I lost you for a second. Sure. Okay, we're still recording. You hear me?
Oh. Yeah, okay. I guess my internet connection hiccuped.
Yeah, right, well, we have a hiccup, so two files us in, Brian. So you didn't give the first round to Keith?
No. I saw... Jardine gets some takedowns and basically do nothing with them. He didn't do any damage, and Musasi dominated the stand-up. So I gave the first round, well, it would have been 10-9 for Musasi minus the point. So I gave the first round to Musasi.
You gave it 9-9.
Well, it would have been 9-9, yeah. And, same thing, basically, for the rounds 2 and 3. Jardine got some takedowns, but Musasi dominated the stand-up and did more damage. And Jardine did nothing with the takedowns, and I really wish that would stop. Sorry.
I agree he didn't do much with his takedowns, but I thought the stand-up was fairly close enough in the first round that the three takedowns, you know, whether or not he did anything with them, the takedown still a point, still counts for points.
Yeah, it, and it does.
Was, it was enough to win the round. I said it was fairly, first round was fairly close, but I feel the three takedowns dirty and won.
Apparently Dana agreed with me because he had some indignant tweet after the decision was announced.
I'm so behind on
that. Or whatever that's worth.
Yeah, I've added so many people on Twitter lately. I'm like, I can't keep up. I'm like, yeah. Every time I go to check it, I'm like 400 tweets behind. I'm like, I'm just.
Yeah, that's easy to do.
Yeah, I need to do a cleaning. But anyway, no, it was a dog fight. It was a low down, dirty, you know, it wasn't pretty, but at the same time it wasn't boring. But you know, that's kind of a Keith Jardine fight to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I agree with the draw. A lot of people didn't. You didn't, obviously. And Dana.
I did not.
Dana, speaking of, was there after saying he's not going to go to Showtime events because, you know, he didn't want to create any problems.
Yeah, he was sitting cage side wearing a Strikeforce t-shirt. Just in case you were wondering, the televised broadcast did make quite a big deal over the fact that Zuffa has purchased Strikeforce.
I just got done watching the broadcast, so.
Oh, okay. They were contemplating the
title fights.
Possibility of super fights between the two,
which means it's definitely on the table if they're allowed to talk about it. And yeah, they did the text polling with maybe the dumbest poll of all time.
Yeah.
Would you like to see? Go ahead.
Would you like to see Strikeforce fighters versus UFC fighters? 96% said yes. 4% are either UFC snobs or Strikeforce snobs.
To quote Brock Lesnar, what a stupid question. And to agree with Frank Shamrock, who the hell were the other 4%? Why would you not want to see the best fight the best?
Right.
So I'm most interested in the heavyweight matchup. I'd love to see Alistair fight UFC heavyweights. But
mm-hmm.
And I'd love to see our next fighter, Gilbert Melendez, mixing it up at 155. Co-main event or semi-main was the light heavyweight championship of Strikeforce. Gilbert Melendez in a rematch against Tetsuya Kawajiri, a guy he beat back in Pride in 2006. This mm-hmm. time he did it much faster.
Yeah, just relentless punches and knees. You know, staggered Kawajiri. He couldn't land anything hardly, and repeated it at 3 minutes 14 seconds, round one for TKO.
Yeah, Kawajiri looked sluggish. Just like he came out of the blocks looking like he was already punch drunk, which I don't know. He didn't look to be in the fight. And I guess a guy at Gilbert Melendez, who, despite having a year off, looked like he'd been fighting pretty regularly tonight, not a good way to start a fight because he brought it and beat the crap out of him.
Yeah.
Brought in his buddy Jake Shields, his training partner. Jake Shields mercifully booed tonight. Strong GSP fandom here that night, here in San Diego. I mean, obviously he's a huge star, but just amazing. Just San Diego just were huge GSP fans. And just, I don't think that anyone had any particular grudge against Jake Shields, but the fact that he's GSP's next opponent, he just got booed. I asked the guy, I was like, why are you booing? I was like, I'm a GSP fan. I'm like, but Jake Shields not a bad guy. He's like, no, but he's fighting JSP. I'm like, all right. So, yeah, no love for him. He took it well. But, you know, he was in a good mood tonight. You know, his fight camp had a strong showing tonight. We already talked about the main event. Just going back, the judge for that Gilbert Melendez fight was Cecil Peoples, who judged quite a few fights tonight. Right. Again, a hardcore crowd who knew who the hell Cecil Peoples is, one of the worst refs, or not the ref, he's actually a decent ref, but as a judge, he's a terrible judge.
Right.
And the crowd knew the hell who he was, and he got booed the fuck out. Did you hear that on TV?
Yes, the one fight he refed on the broadcast, and he got booed heavily.
That was all night. The crowd just could not stand the guy. It blows my mind. It's like people not even knew who he was, but knew he's the judge that always screws things up. So, But a fine ref, actually. Maybe he could just stick to reffing. He's a pretty good one.
Speaking of refs, the was it the one who did the Jardine versus Musasi fight that had the guy with crazy the beard mustache thing?
Yeah, that was awesome. I saw him, I texted you on the undercard when I first saw him. I'm like, dude, this guy has a beard, and you're like, he texts me back like, what the fuck is that thing? he looks like a like an extra from a an action movie where they go to the biker bar and he's the tough standing there.
Mm-hmm. Crazy. The mustache melded into the beard and it went down halfway down his chest. It's just crazy.
Yeah, on the undercard, I think it was the second fight, maybe the first. I think it was a local San Diego. I think it was the first fight. It was a San Diego guy wearing Hello Kitty fight shorts. Pink with the Hello Kitty logo on it. He lost. But he might have out fancy pants both Beer Bomb and Aoki. Yeah, I give him props for having a bit of a odd style, I guess. That was the card. I said the Nick Diaz. I think I enjoyed it more than you, maybe because I saw it live. But even watching the broadcast, I was still just going ape shit. I just loved the main event. A salt. You know, you'll rarely. You know, if you wanted to show someone who wants to get an MMA that doesn't, you want to show them good fights. That would be on my list. That would be with the first Korean Zombie Leonard Garcia fight. Griffin Bonner won. You know, it'd be up there in there. Like these are the fights I would show you.
Right.
Also, another Nick Diaz fight. If I was doing that, Nick Diaz, Robbie Lawler, way back in the day on UFC. If you remember that fight.
I don't offhand know.
I think they were both like 21 years old. It was like UFC 42 or something. Like way long ago. It was an awesome fight. Nick Diaz won. Knocked out Robbie Lawler. You know, Nick Diaz came in as the jiu-jitsu guy. Robbie Lawler obviously is the boxer, and Nick Diaz knocked him out in the third round. It was a it was an awesome fight. Hughes Trigg 2, obviously. Chuck Liddell, Vanderlei Silva. You know, those are what I consider like, you know, the fights you'd show a guy who wants to get into Don Fry, big pro wrestling Japanese dude. The hockey fight.
Yeah. The Minnow Man?
No, it's not Minnow Man. It's he was a pro wrestler for a long time. He's called the Prince or something. Yeah, he's like this.
Remember the fight. I just can't think of who it was.
Big blonde Japanese, not naturally blonde, obviously, but big, but like a 6'8" Japanese dude, which is odd in itself, and blonde hair, and him and Don Fry just grab each other, back of each other's heads, and just had a hockey fight for about 10 minutes. Crazy brawl. But anyway, yeah, that's Strikeforce. It was a great card live. Like I said, it was just the ambiance, the fans, just amazing. I was so thinking this was going to be a South California crowd that's just there to, you know, just to be at the fight and didn't know shit. But everyone there was just super fans, and they knew everything, and they cheered like I couldn't hear nothing. It was so loud.
Right.
I had a great time. I went out with a couple of guys from the I met there, and you know, went out last night, had a good time. Mm-hmm. So. If you're a fan, if the show's near you, go see the show. You're going to meet some fellow fans and you're having a good time.
Right.
It's like BotCon.
Except bloodier.
A little bloodier. Other news, have you been watching The Ultimate Fighter?
I have been.
Fights have been horrible so far.
Yeah, I was... What, the guy that has a full-time job and trains part-time this week, and they didn't give much of a chance of winning.
He was the second to last choice by Brock's team.
Yeah.
He won. He won a shitty, shitty, boring 15-minute fight. I know I've probably seen worse fights in Ultimate Fighter, but the fact that this went three rounds and the exact same thing happened in three rounds, it was just like the most... At least I had prior warning, so I wasn't paying that much attention to it. People just don't know. This fight sucks. So I was like, all right, I'm not, you know, I already knew the winner anyway, so I just kind of had it on. I think you know, playing on my phone, and I'd look up, and I'm like, yep, they're still clinching.
Sorry.
It was terrible. First fight was also terrible, and it was, the first fight was the first pick of Junior Dos Santos' team, strong wrestler. He had pretty much domination throughout the fight, but he couldn't finish to save his life, despite getting every dominant position on the ground he could. He couldn't do nothing with it. Just, it's frustrating. It's like, finish him. You're a way better fighter. Finish him now. And he wouldn't finish him. So it was like, screw you. Hope you die. Cancer of the knee. Other than that, it's not... I guess we're going to see Brock's, you know, Brock's famous temper. Looks like it's coming out in the next episode. It's kind of what everyone's waiting for. When Brock's going to blow his top.
And been a whole lot of drama yet this season. One guy who wanted to quit and go home to his family.
Yeah, that, which is surprising at this point. You know, season 13. You know, we haven't seen that since about season 2, I think.
Yeah, you'd think people would pretty well have an idea what they're getting into at this point. Six weeks in a house with nothing to do except train and surprise each other with bodily fluids and whatnot.
Yeah, that Dana rightfully buried him, and he'll never see UFC in his life.
Yeah.
So, yeah, smart move, buddy. Hope Walmart works out for you in the entire department. Brock is, you know, I guess his catchphrase is turning chicken shit into chicken salad or some variation thereof. He seems to say it a lot. Like, all the previews has him saying it. He dropped it this episode. He's apparently going to keep dropping it. It's an odd phrase. Maybe it's a South Dakota thing. I don't know.
It does not sound like a tasty salad.
No, it's, you know, he had made the other thing, polishing a turd, which, you know, I'm more familiar with.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. It's Brock, and, you know, everyone's watching because he's Brock. He's a big star, and everyone knows his attitude in general, so.
Right.
Kems goes off on his team next episode, so that should at least be interesting. They say the fights get better, from what I've heard.
Yeah.
But the warning went out beginning of the season, the first few fights are going to suck, and they were right.
Well, that's not really unheard of, especially early in the season, before they... Well, one, the guys are fighting more conservatively because they have to keep fighting if they win in rapid succession, and second, you know, they're weeding out the... lesser skilled guys, so
yeah,
shouldn't really be a surprise that the fights are.
But these guys are going in, you know, trying to make a statement, you know,
and yeah,
you know, we saw the when they usually have the fights to get into the house, they're usually real exciting because these guys want to prove something. So
right.
I think that dynamic, they definitely, I think they learn here, like, we have to have that, the fights to get in the house, because otherwise, these guys know they have the spot, and they're not, you know, like I said, they're being conservative. I mean, the worst example would be, you know, the veteran season 4, which is just, you know, the worst season for fights in history, because all these guys were veterans and knew the game, and they fought very conservatively throughout the season because they didn't want to get hurt.
Any idea why they decided not to do the fight to get in the house this time?
I don't know. I don't know if it was to do with... I mean, the last time they didn't do it was for Kimbo, because they didn't want Kimbo to get eliminated in the, you know, elimination.
Right.
To get in the house. So I don't know why they did it. I mean, you think because Brock's there, but, I mean, Brock seems a very capable coach. I mean, I would see, you know, why he couldn't sit there and judge fighters.
Yeah.
You know, you've had Rampage and, you know, had Rampage do it, and Rampage, I think, is a way worse coach. I mean, yeah. I love Rampage, but, God, he's a terrible, terrible coach.
Yeah.
And they've had him on twice. But Brock seems to be a good coach. Dos Santos, he's a nice guy. I mean, that's
yeah.
You can definitely tell, like, he is like a guy you'd like go hang out with, have a beer with. He's a nice dude. Brock is Brock. And,
mock his misuse of the English language.
Well, that's what you get when you put a Brazilian on there. But I think it's the second time we've had a English as second language coach. Other one,
yeah.
Noguera, who was a much better talker. So,
His accent, it's a strange, funny thing, his accent didn't so thick that they subtitled him like they do some of the English guys.
Which is funny. Guys who are actually speak the supposed proper version of our language, the English, get subtitled all the time.
Right.
The Armenians and the Polish and the Brazilians do not. It's someone's pointed that out before. It's like this kind of a weird dynamic. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say it just has to do with the thickness of the accent. The British guys speak, you know, quote unquote proper English, but it's with
they speak it very
heavy
fast.
Accent that's.
Well, they're native. Yeah, they're native speakers, and they speak it very fast, as opposed to like a Brazilian who would speak it slow because he's trying to make himself understood.
Right.
I think the UK versus US season, one of the prelim fighters said something really fast, and then he said, "Please don't subtitle me." And of course, they subtitled him through the whole thing. But speaking of British coaches, one might be returning for the next season. I thought it was guaranteed we were going to get Faber Cruz, but apparently they said no.
No, they've got a fight scheduled, June or July sometime?
And have you heard the two coaches they are trying to get for the next season?
I have not.
Chael Sonnen and Michael Bisping returning.
Huh.
Of course, all pending on whether or not Chael can get licensed as a coach in Nevada, because right now Keith Kaiser is not happy with him for essentially lying about during his steroid case that said, "Oh yeah, I had to talk to Keith Kaiser about it. He said it was cool." Keith Kaiser's like, "I never talked to you about this at all. What the fuck are you talking about?"
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of Chael, he just got sentenced for his real estate fraud. He got pretty much what everyone thought he was going to get: probation, giant fucking fine. What was that? $100,000?
I don't remember.
I have to look it up. Yeah, he got a giant fine, probation, suspension of his real estate license, and unsupervised probation. He doesn't have to like report to a probation officer or anything. But
what kind of probation is that?
Well, it's essentially, if he gets in trouble again, he gets tossed
straight in jail.
Yeah, they can still charge him for that crime. You know, it's like, okay, well, now you screwed up on this, so we're suspending we're taking away your probation from that crime, and you're going to get charged for that plus what you just did. So,
Anyway, Sonnen versus Bisping would be a hell of a dynamic.
It would. It would be a great season. Again, I think the holdup is whether or not he can get his coaching license for in Nevada.
So, yeah.
That's the dynamic they're looking for. It would be a great season. I love Chael. I did just recently watch for the first time fully through because the Chael Silva fight was on. I was out at sea and I was in standard definition and we had a bad signal. I didn't even see the last round. But
the last round's where the round where it happened.
Yeah, I saw that Silva won, and I was like, looked at Chael's face. I figured he must have caught him because his eyebrow was busted wide open.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, he must have caught him in the last round. And I found out, it was by triangle choke. But watching it on Blu-ray, I got the best of UFC 2010, and Jesus Christ, Chael's back was so covered in acne, which is a big sign of steroid use. I was like, how did no one notice this? Why was this any surprise he failed this drug test? It was disgusting. but an awesome fight. Awesome fight.
Yeah.
Any other news before we break up? I hear my child waking up now.
Not really. You texted me earlier about Nick Diaz saying that he's afraid he's going to get suspended for some unspoken reason. So I read that story this morning, and I thought he was just being weirdly paranoid, but you mentioned that you could get popped for a...
No, I don't know. I'm the same as you. Ariel Helwani interviewed him after the fight. And speaking of, he had a weird almost confrontation with Ariel, pre-fight. Apparently he thought Ariel was, was baiting fighters and causing confrontation. I don't know where he got that from. Ariel's one of the better reporters, I think.
Yeah,
I don't know. I remember him instigating shit, but it's typical Nick. But yeah, he said, I'm probably gonna get suspended. He didn't give a reason, and it's like, oh, what the fuck, dude? My first thing went in my head was pot. He smoked up too close to the drug test.
Yeah, could be that. Could even be steroids. Although I don't think he's been thought for that before, but.
No, yeah, he's been pretty outspoken. He's a guy that like eats organic food and like he's, you know, other than the pot and the Adderall, he stays clean otherwise. Like he's, you know, one of those health nuts.
So yeah.
I would doubt it's steroids. I mean, never put it past anybody, but I would guess it's pot or his ADD medication. And before I sign out, here's, you know, a little promo on a cut. You know, as a person who suffers from ADD, you know, people that give Nick shit about this, you know, look, all right? You know, I've suffered through it. It's hard to, I mean, you can hear me on the show sometimes. It's hard to concentrate. Like, I've had to suffer through it without medication because I'm in the military. And this guy has it way worse than I do. He takes medication for it. He has to get off of it before his fight. And, yeah, he's scatterbrained before a fight. You know, because he's off his meds. You know, his ADD is acting up big time. You know, once if you have ADD, you know, once you're focused on something, you know, you're really into, your friggin' laser focus. That's that. You know, you can see that in his fights. But other than that, he's scatterbrained because he has a friggin' condition, I know very well. You know, you want to give him shit for everything else he does? Fine, lay off. The dude has ADD. Lay off of him. You know, the guy's suffering and he can't take his meds because of what his job is. You know, it pisses me off. I see people giving me shit about, you know, ADD, blah, 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 not a real disease. Like, screw you. Fuck you. Just fuck you. It's like, it's a real thing. I can tell you from experience. It sucks. So, yeah, that's all I got to say about that. Anything else, Alan?
No.
All right, well, my child is awake and talking to a stuffed animal, so I think I better go attend to him. Wife's off to a hair appointment, so I am home alone. Anyway, they'll do it for Outside the Cage. Thank you guys for listening each and every week when we were actually on, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Outside the Cage with your hosts, Gabriel Owens and Alan Young. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Like the podcast? Leave us feedback on iTunes. Outside the Cage is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.